Good morning, everyone. So glad you are here. I hope everybody's doing well today. Welcome also those that are watching online. I'm so glad that you're also watching. My name is Tom. I am the worship pastor here at Discover Community Church. And I love what I do here. And more than that, I love my worship team so much. They're wonderful people, and I'm so blessed to have all of them. So I'll just keep talking, but it sounds like the sound is a little off, but how many of you have a favorite place to sit at your home? My favorite place to sit at our home is our dining room table. And it's usually where I sit and I work on the worship songs that I put together each week. And I do a lot of my Bible studying at that dining room table. And there's a window right outside the dining room table that we have this beautiful tree. It's a really large tree. And let's see, we've lived in our home 22, 23 years now or something in there. And that tree has gone through a lot as far as losing branches on that tree through all the storms we've had, mostly snowstorms, even one tornado. But that tree is still standing. It's just a beautiful tree. Also next to our dining room table, we have a glass hutch. Kind of common. And in that glass hutch, I love to look in there because there's a lot of Christmas plates. And I admit that last Christmas, I bought some new Christmas plates. And I know Pastor Bob likes to call me Mr. Christmas, and that's very true. And it just reminded me that I want to remind Pastor Bob that Christmas in July has started on Hallmark and GAC Family. I like GAC Family better because it's more Christian, but I just thought you might want to be aware of that. I'm sure some of you are wondering, I'm sure he's going to bring up Christmas, but I didn't think it was going to be this soon in the message. So anyway, I'm going to return to that thought at the end of my message. But my message this morning is going to focus on Mary of Bethany. And this is what I want to teach. It's how we can live every day of our lives following Mary's example of learning to sit at the feet of Jesus, learning to choose Mary's heart of worship, always having a steadfast desire to be with the Lord Jesus in his word and in prayer, if only for a moment of each day. My heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast, Psalm 57:7. Mary of Bethany, the sister of Martha, the sister of Lazarus, who Jesus, of course, raised from the dead, who is mentioned in the Bible, get this, only three times. And all three times that Mary of Bethany is mentioned, she is sitting at the feet of Jesus. It's her favorite place to sit. Can you imagine listening to Jesus speak to you while sitting at his feet? How could you not just want to stay there forever? That's where I want to be when I get to heaven. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I just read that from Psalm 23, verse 6. When Jesus taught, Mary listened. When life hurt the most, Mary mourned. When God blessed her, she turned to him to bring it back to worship. Father, I just invite your Holy Spirit here this morning, Lord. Jesus, we love you. We want to give you all the glory. Holy Spirit, I just pray that everyone, including myself, that walked in the door this morning, however we came in, we will not leave the same. And we're going to give you all the glory for that, Lord. Amen. My main text today comes from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now, as they were traveling along and entered, Jesus, entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." I can just tell by her saying that to Jesus that they kind of have been around each other for a long time and were really good friends, knew each other very well. "Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered over so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." I want to repeat what I said again, but this time a little bit slower. Sometimes it's better to slow our thoughts down and just wait on the Lord for what the Holy Spirit wants to tell us. Remember, the Holy Spirit is called our helper. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, and he may abide, that he may abide with you forever. John 14:16. When Jesus taught, Mary listened. When life hurt the most, Mary mourned. When God blessed her, Mary turned to him to bring it back to worship. Here's my question. How can we do the same? In the book of James, chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, it says, "Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." It's that simple. Or is it that simple? Sometimes what may seem the easy thing to do can also be the easy thing not to do. It also says in James, "You have not because you ask not." True joy, peace, what really matters in life, hope, fulfillment in life can only come from God. Unbelievers, however, are unwilling to ask for them on his terms. They refuse to submit to God or acknowledge their dependence on him. Luke 10:39 says, "Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word." You can't receive a word if you're not there to receive it. Let me repeat that. You can't receive a word, I'm talking about a word from the Lord, if you're not there to receive it. Mary was present with Jesus, even if others were not. Luke 10:40 says, "But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me.' When Martha complained to Jesus, Mary didn't even defend herself. She didn't have to. Jesus did it for her. In verses 40 through 41, he says, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things.'" Have you ever felt like Martha? I know I have. "But one thing is needed." Why is it so hard for us sometimes to do that one thing that is needed? Sometimes doing that one thing can be a hard thing to do. Martha was pretty worried, but Mary was pretty chill. Which one do you want to be? Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her, Jesus said. Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet and was content and determined to stay there. As Pastor Levi Lesko says, when Jesus is in the room, the hands go up and they stay there. He also said in a message, "Do his first things first. Do what is needed first. Come to him first. It's never a mistake to put Jesus first." Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And also verse 34, so do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. His kingdom is the same kingdom of heaven. It refers to the sphere of heaven, the sphere of salvation. Jesus was urging them to seek salvation, and with it would come the full care and provision of God. Remember the verse I read earlier, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. The title of my message this morning is The Better Portion. Sue and I just celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary a couple weeks ago. We drove up to Estes Park. We've been there many times. It was actually one of our first dates in Estes Park. Beautiful town. I always love going up there. But looking back over the 40 years that we've been married, I think the most valuable thing that we ever did throughout our marriage was to consistently attend church every Sunday. For all those 40 years, we've always gone to church. Always. But even before we met, we were attending church. And Sue and I just want to thank both of our parents. Our moms are here this morning. And we are so thankful for both of you and allowing us to grow up in a Christian home. It says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Deuteronomy 30:19-20 says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that the both of you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, and that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life, and he is the length of your days. Salvation is solely a gift of grace. Ephesians 2:8, we all know this verse, but I need to read it again. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And the next verse then says this, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. These works are the natural outgrowth of having a relationship with him. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. When Jesus says that Mary has chosen what is better, many translations translate this as choosing the better part. The Greek word translated as part can also mean portion. This can refer to a portion or food, but can be used in a metaphorical sense too. For example, in Psalm 119, verse 57, it says, you are my portion, Lord. I have promised to obey your words. Often when portion is used in this sense, it indicates that God is all we need. Spending time at Jesus' feet is the most important thing we could ever do. It's the one thing, or the good portion, that we all need to seek. It is essential to hear God's word and dwell upon it. I'm reminded of Psalm 91 whenever I think of the word dwell. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I love what Natalie Breckenridge said in her post about Psalm 91. She says, Psalm 91 is a place you choose to live. It was never meant to be occasional. It's positional. Dwells. That means you don't just run there in a crisis. You remain there in consistency. You build your life there. Because the promises in Psalm 91 are not random blessings. They are the result of proximity. You don't accidentally live covered. You choose to stay close. Every day, how are we choosing to stay close to Jesus? Every Sunday, are we choosing to be at church? Church should not be a place you just attend, but a people that you belong to. Let's think about the language of the New Testament. The writers of the New Testament often use words like brothers and sisters, members of one another, a shared life. We were made for fellowship and participation. Are we being present at church so we can be built up in our faith? Colossians 2, 6 through 7 says, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude." And also Hebrews 10, 24 through 25, "And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deed, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." And friends, that day is very much drawing near. The time we have is the time we have. We need to make the most of every opportunity. That's a whole other message, though. We learn obedience to God in a community. That's why our church is called Discover Community Church. You live out the commands of Jesus when you have brothers and sisters to help pull you off of the ledges of life. Are we being built up? Are we being inspired? Or are we being just inspired? Being built up by the Word of God and by having community, we actually change how we are living Monday through Saturday. I want to make disciples who can then make more disciples. The goal for the church should always be transformation. And the King of the universe has a lot to say about that. But we have to choose to sit with him and to listen to his voice. That's exactly what Mary did. She chose to sit at the feet of Jesus and just listen. Then later to mourn, then finally to worship. And Jesus said, "Mary has chosen the better portion, which shall not be taken away from her." I want to take a moment to talk about a story that happened to our worship team a few months ago. It's an area in Franktown. It's a ranch where they raise horses, and there's a wonderful ministry out there called Sons of Rains Ranch. And there are several people in this church that are involved in that ministry. And it's a place where people that are hurting, that need healing, that need hope, they can go out to this horse ranch. And I'm sure you've heard all the stories about how horses can make such an impact like nothing else can in someone's life. They're wonderful. And our worship team has gone out there several times to do worship. So a couple months ago, we had another worship night out at this ranch. And Sue and I were heading out there, and there was a horrible accident on I-25. We get off of, we go south to, we live in Highlands Ranch, we go to Founders Parkway, and then we'll go east out to Franktown. It's ranch is out there. It's kind of a ways out there. And they had the highway shut down, and we got stuck in this traffic, and we weren't moving at all. And so I called everybody else on the worship team that was going to be there to warn them, do not come this way. And everybody went a different way. And it took us an hour and a half just to go a few feet. Remember that? It was the worst traffic jam we've ever been in. But anyway, we were determined to get there. And so the rest of the worship team went a different way, and they got there, when they did. But we didn't show up. It was at least an hour and a half or so, maybe longer than that. And I have to tell this story. That when Sue and I walked in, You know, I could already hear the worship team. I could hear the worship. As soon as I walked in the barn, the presence of the Holy Spirit, His presence was so powerful, so evident in that place. We heard people singing. I could see people raising their hands. There was a lady standing in the back that I walked by, and she had tears in her eyes. I mean, it was a spiritual healing for me when I walked in. And I was thinking, Lord, I don't even need to be here. You're still going to do what you're going to do with the people that are there, with the worship team that's already there leading worship. And it was so evident by His presence. We have a wonderful worship team. I'm going to talk more about that later. But this is what I want to say about that night. I saw the worship team with a humble and contrite heart. Psalm 34:18 declares, He saves the contrite in heart or in spirit, attributing deliverance to God's initiative toward those who acknowledge their spiritual bankruptcy. The Hebrew meaning for contrite means crushed to fine dust, shattered beyond human repair, yet still precious to God. How precious is our worship team? Jesus wept, the shortest verse in the Bible. The second time we see Mary at the feet of Jesus, I want to read a paragraph from an article. It's by SharonWilharm.com called Mary of Bethany. I thought this was appropriate. Jesus knew that He was going to raise Lazarus back to life. He knew what was in store, and that soon there would only be tears of rejoicing. But He saw the suffering that His child was going through in the here and now, and He felt her pain, and He joined her in weeping. Jesus always meets us where we are. What I want to read to you next is one of the best short messages I've heard on why we should pray. I'm going to talk about prayer a little bit. This is my favorite part of this message. This comes from our daily bread. I prayed for my sister-in-law to be healed from cancer, and she died anyway. I prayed for that job, and they went a different direction. I prayed for my son, but he still refuses to get help. As a pastor and counselor, I've heard comments like these for years, and I have my own examples. Eventually, if you live long enough, and you go through enough, and you're honest enough, you're probably going to ask yourself, why pray at all? God's going to do what God's going to do anyway, and it seems like He's not doing what I want Him to do, so why even pray? Well, I want to let Jesus give you the answer. In Jesus' famous teaching on how to pray from Matthew 6, He also answers the question, why pray? I want to highlight a couple of His answers. Here's the first reason we pray. Prayer brings us back to reality. He tells us to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Richest of rich, poorest of poor, Jesus teaches us to pray in such a way that we are reminded daily that all we have, even our next meal, is a gift of God. Prayer reminds us of our true situation, and if you're like me, you probably need that reminder. Second reason to pray that Jesus gives, prayer is used by God. All the verbs used in the Lord's Prayer, they're all commands. Be hallowed, be done, give us, forgive us, lead us, deliver us. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, tells His followers to tell God to do the stuff that He loves to do, which means Jesus believes that our prayers are a part of God's work in the world. So it's not magic. Prayer works because God wants it to work, because God wants to work with him in his work. So even though it's a mystery, and in the end of a day, we have to still trust him, let's pray, because he uses those prayers. And finally, why pray? Because prayer is time with your Father. The very first thing Jesus teaches them and us about prayer is to address God as Father. Prayer is not principally about accomplishing something. It's about being with someone. In Christ, you are a beloved son or daughter of God, and he wants to spend time with you. Through prayer, we actually spend time with God. Think about that. We get to spend time with God every time we pray. For Mary, that's all she wanted to do, is to be with Jesus. One more reason why pray, because Jesus prayed. The Bible records 34 distinct instances of Jesus praying during his earthly ministry across the Gospels. In Matthew, 8 times. Mark, 7 times. Luke, 15 times. John, 4 times. While these 34 specific prayers are referenced in the Bible emphasizes that prayer was a consistent daily way of life for Jesus, rather than just an activity limited to set occasions. We should pray because Jesus prayed. I want to revisit the horse ranch one more time. This is something that God just showed me, and it was unexpected. I don't know how the Holy Spirit does this, but he showed me lyrics from a song, and this is perfect for anyone that may have, maybe you've never prayed a day in your life. This is who this is for. This is also, I just want to bless and honor those in our church that do ministry out at the Sun and Rain's Horse Ranch. My wife, Sue. Rhonda and Michael, and even Chrissy has been out there several times. Just want to thank you guys for all you're doing. I guess it is so popular out there, they have a waiting list now for people to come. But it's such a wonderful place. But I just have to read this. This is just so good. It's a song called God Gave Me Horses. And the songwriters are Connie Ray Harrington and Christian artist Leah Nash. I'll try to hold it together. He said, I've been locked up for 14 months on misdemeanor charges. I got clean in a county jail, but the lonely is the hardest. As long as I'm on good behavior, they let me work these stables. I've never prayed a day in my life, but now I'm finally able. Sometimes you don't know what you need until you get it. And I didn't know what to ask for, so I didn't. I'd just brush them and I'd feed them, and the holes in my arms started healing. Oh, it's like they knew what I was feeling. The state gave me 18 months, but God gave me horses. He said, it's funny how here I thought I was taking care of them. They know my voice, come when I call. Yeah, they are my best friends. Hadn't seen my father in 7 years, too ashamed of what I was. When he visits me on Sundays now, he's proud to call me son. I've driven a million times, but I stopped today. Leaned against that fence to clear my head. When a stranger in his prison blues handed me the reins, and somehow I felt freer when I left. Sometimes you don't know what you need until you get it. And I didn't know what to ask for, so I didn't. I'd just brush them and I'd feed them. And the holes on my arms started healing. Oh, it's like they knew what I was feeling. The state gave me 18 months. The state gave me 18 months, but God gave me horses. God gave me horses. Like I said earlier, God will always meet us right where we are, and always remember that nothing is impossible with God. I have to believe that the town of Bethany was Jesus' favorite place to be. Some of his best friends were there: Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, Simon the leper's house where Mary anointed the feet of Jesus for his burial. John 12:3 says, Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume, of pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Pastor Bob talked about this scripture a few weeks ago. I think we all know that smells trigger memories so vividly because they have a uniquely direct pathway to the brain's emotional and memory centers. My favorite memory smell, if you know me, you probably can guess it, the smell of a fresh Christmas tree. Sue's favorite smell, the smell of candy in her grandfather's service station. And right after we were married, I had the privilege of going out to Minnesota to visit. What is your memory smell? Mary gave away the perfume for Jesus. And how did this stay with her in her life? Her perfume went with Jesus to the cross. Her perfume went with Jesus to the grave. She got a new memory. The smell and the memory were linked. When she would be in the market and smell spikenard, it would smell like her Savior. She got a new memory, and you can too. As I conclude, I want to tell you a little more of why my favorite place is my dining room table. Every Christmas, all the family gathers together to sit, eat, share, laugh, and love with one another. We share our lives. We share our prayers. Of course, our table isn't long enough to sit our entire family. Sometimes we just need to squeeze in a few more chairs. Sometimes we need to add another table. Sometimes I wish we had one of those really long tables that you see in a castle. So then we would have plenty of room for everyone. One day in heaven, the family of God will sit together at one of those really long tables. I don't know if it'll be in a castle or not, but I know that in heaven there are many rooms. One more time, let me say, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. To seek the Lord means to approach him, approach God in repentance and in prayer. One thing I never realized about the ascension of Jesus is that it took place in Bethany. Bethany, what I believe, was Jesus' favorite place. Luke 24:50. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Every week, our worship team, we follow a plan, and we have it on our phones, and we can make copies of it. And I have, it's called the walkout song. We always do that, you know, when service is over. It's the walkout song. It's time for everybody to leave, you know, service is over. But after, you know, thinking about this message and what God was speaking to me, I think I need to change that name from the walkout song to the dwelling song. I've been on worship teams for, wow, a long, long time. And one of the favorite things for people that are on a worship team love to see is when church is over, maybe somebody is still sitting there. It doesn't happen all the time. But sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, tugs on your heart in a way that you just need 5 more minutes to sit at the feet of Jesus. So I'm changing it from the walkout song to the dwelling song. So if you ever feel led to stay that 5 extra minutes, I know church is over and that's the time we, you know, service is over and time to leave, and that's great. But I just want you to know that we, if you ever feel that or sense that, and you know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and it only comes from the Holy Spirit, only He can do that, it's okay to sit there, because our worship team, more than anything, loves to worship. And we'll just keep worshiping. We'll keep playing. We'll keep singing. So remember when I talked about the word dwells. And that means you choose to stay close. So choose to stay close to Jesus. I'm going to pray. Father, I just thank you for how much you love us. I thank you for Jesus. Jesus, I thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, for the forgiveness of sins that gives us forever life, eternal life in heaven with you, Lord. And we look forward to one day sitting at your feet, listening to you, listening to your every word, and blessing you, Lord, with worship, forever worship, Lord. So thank you for speaking to us, Lord. And we just are going to take communion now, Lord, and remember your sacrifice, Jesus, what you've done, and continue to worship you, Lord. So we love you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're going to take communion. We usually have 2 separate lines you can make, and I think we can do that today. We'll do that, so you can make 2 separate lines. I do want to remind everybody right now that we're going to be using our hymnals on this next song, and it's on page 281. And 281 is the song we're going to do. So I invite you to get that page ready. So thank you guys for listening. Love you. Love you guys. And we're going to worship now.